Today, I was so excited to interview a communication expert and extraordinary businesswoman, Beate Chalat. From six figures in debt to a seven-figure buyout, Beate is the growth architect. She mentors women entrepreneurs with her five-star success blueprint. She's an author, speaker, entrepreneur, and more, and we had the chance to discuss the difference between male and female communication in the workplace and how we can bridge the gender gap to get things done. It was an awesome interview, and I know you're gonna love it. So get ready and enjoy.
Hello, everyone. I am extremely excited. Today we have Beate Chalat on the show. She is the growth architect and a results-oriented businesswoman with an entrepreneurial spirit with a proven track record of growing, building, and scaling women's businesses. She successfully sold one of her first businesses to a global entertainment media company owned by Bill Gates in a multi-million dollar deal. And through her online courses, one-on-one training programs, and live speaking events, she mentors women entrepreneurs with her five-star success blueprint. She's the creator of the Woman's Code, and her proprietary methods have successfully addressed women's obstacles in a highly competitive, male-dominated environment. She's a respected speaker and mentor and the author of the book, Happy Woman, Happy World, How to Go from Overwhelmed to Awesome, and she has taken time out of her very busy schedule to be with us today. So thank you so much for joining us.
Well, I'm really excited to be here, Brandon. Can't wait.
Thank you. Now, for everyone who didn't catch all that big mouthful that I just gave them, would you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Right. So I am Beate Chalat. I'm known as the growth architect, and I developed this five-star success blueprint because I realized that entrepreneurs have a very difficult time to sort of figure out what the steps are to build a business, especially if it's your first time building a business, or even if it's your second and your third, because we are prone to sort of do things our way, but sometimes you forget that there might be another way, a proven way or a method to follow. So I designed the growth architecture based on that. And the Women's Code is part of growth architecture. It's actually the fourth step of growth architecture, and it's all about balanced leadership, because I believe that to be successful in business, you do have to develop yourself as a leader, especially women. And balanced leadership is the term because it's equal, it's diverse, it's all inclusive. We don't want to say the bad word feminism. We don't want to say the bad word that all men are rolling their eyes. We call it balanced leadership because we really feel that, or I feel that balance is necessary for everybody to be successful in business and in our personal lives.
Absolutely. Now, for I know that our audience is a majority of men, but I think I just want to curtail this conversation and say, you know, we're going to talk about a lot of conversation between men and women, some of those differences. So even though you are the woman specialist, we're going to get a little bit of content for everyone. And I'd like to know how you really came up with and started the Woman's Code. What really inspired you there?
Well, one of the things was, I'm a class type A. So I've been in business and I've been very successful in business. And I found that there is a very different way that men do business and a different way that women do business, and that there is so much miscommunication. Now, for somebody like me who is more like an alpha, it's always been relatively easy to work with men because I get it. You know, I'm not overly emotional, if you so want to call it that way, even though they have emotions. Everybody has emotions, but I'm, you know, driven by logic and by structures and by systems, and that seems to be working really well. So, but I realized that I am not like everybody else, or other people are different, and that there are very specific ways on how men get to do business. And if you want to be successful as a woman, you really need to learn how this is done. And that's not right, really, because if 50%, or actually 51% of the American population are women, then really it's us who's the majority. Big difference. You know, men are not the majority, the women are the majority. So why are we building systems and businesses that are specific to the way men work? And why don't we also incorporate the way women work and put that somewhere in there? So that's why I created the Women's Code, for the reason of, number one, I wanted to show women how women can support other women. And for anybody who's ever been in an organization with a team with a lot of women, you know what I mean when I say women sometimes can be the worst with each other. Bitchy, backstabbing, mean girl. I mean, you name it. I've experienced all of that. So women need to support other women. Number one. Second is I wanted to help men, and a lot of men want women to succeed. They just don't know how. So they don't know what to say. They don't know how to behave. They don't know what's appropriate. So I wanted to also give the men the playbook of the other team, so to speak, which is what GQ columnist Reinhard Haas called the book. He said it's the playbook to the other team, to just give men a couple of pointers. Is like, that's the way it works. And so it's been compared to sort of the new men are from Mars, women are from Venus kind of follow-up, but it's very specific to really getting along in today's world.
You're bridging the gap between women and women as well as men and women in the professional workplace.
That's correct.
Fantastic. Now, what would you say are some of those major communication differences between men and women?
Well, number one, I think the biggest and most important communication difference is that men, for the most part, know how to compartmentalize. So when men discuss an issue, they discuss one issue only, and there's an allocated time to discuss the issue, and then the issue is done. You know, because it comes to a point where everything is discussed, nothing else needs to be discussed any further, done. Put it back in the box, seal the box, put the box where it belongs. Whereas with women, the way our brains are wired is there's a lot of underlying emotion on everything. So in our brain, there's no compartments. In our brain, everything is like finely connected to each other. So the car is connected to our relationship. The relationship is connected to money. That's connected to the way we live, which makes no sense to men. So because like that's like 10 different things. But for us, it's like one life, one personality. That's us. That's how we experience everything. So that's number one, communication. Number two is that it is not innately in the makeup, the emotional makeup of most women to be clear about what it is that we want. So when you say to a woman, and I bet that half or two thirds of your listeners to your conversations have experienced this, when you say to a woman, what do you want? In 99.99% of the time, she can't even tell you what that is. Then the man throws the hands up in exasperation and goes like, well, how can I deliver this to you if you don't even know what you want? And she says, you know, I cannot believe that you are not understanding, you know, who I am, and we've been together for so long, and, you know, or we've been working together for so long and you still don't get it, or it's just a bonehead. So it's really about the, we're just not taught that way. Whereas men are being brought that way to be decisive, to always be clear what you want, to be strategic, goal-oriented. And that's why when we communicate with each other, men say, well, if she doesn't have a plan, a strategy, if she doesn't even know how she wants to approach this project, how can she even display leadership attributes? And she says, if he can even give me an opportunity and the time to figure out what it is that the project demands, and then I can come up with a solution, why would I give him my very best stuff? So that's how these miscommunications, and these are two of my favorite examples, happen every day, everywhere.
It's almost like we're speaking two different languages, where the men are asking to be more specific and we need those bare bones instructions, and sometimes the women are asking us to be mind readers.
Yes, and that's actually something, I'm glad you said that word mind reader, because that is like verbatim what I hear all the time, where men say, I cannot read your mind, you have to tell me. But now imagine if you raise that way, if everything in your entire life has always been about not having demands, of being a nice girl, of behaving, of being seen but not heard, of you know, not causing any trouble, not being difficult, not being demanding, not being bitchy, not being, you know, all of these different things. So how do we suddenly arrive in the business world and then walk into our boss's office and say, hey, this is my super skill. Here are the four demands I have, and here are the six reasons why I'm deserving the $10,000 raise and the director position. That is very difficult for women because we're just not taught that way.
Exactly. And I think you touched on something while you were talking there. When you've got women executives, how can they balance that relationship and communication with other women who may feel intimidated or that power struggle there?
The first step, and in the Women's Code, we work on the three pillars of the Women's Code. And so the first one's awareness, the second is support, and the third's collaboration. So everything always starts with self-awareness. So if I know how I come across, and there was this moment, you know, I'm a certified Myers-Briggs practitioner, and I did Myers-Briggs because I realized that there are so many the fabrics and, you know, woven intricacies of personalities that I decided to add Myers-Briggs to my repertoire, so to speak. And when there was this moment where we are putting up, you know, on these big post-its everywhere in the group exercises, who we are and how we talk. And then I look at it and I'm going, oh my gosh, I sound like an arrogant jerk. And, you know, and it's like this moment of, oh no, that's how I come across, but I am not like that, but yet I'm being perceived that way. So women can help other women by, first of all, becoming very aware and open to recognizing how they are being perceived by others. And then the support, the second pillar, comes to saying, well, how am I going to be supported by my people. So what can I tell them to help support me in my superior position? And then what can I do in return to support them? And this is the part where we just talked about, is like, what do you want? How can I help you? How can I support you? How can I train you better? How can I give you the information better? So that the support goes both ways. And that leads to the third pillar, which is then collaboration. Because if I'm aware who I am and how I come across and what I do and how I do it, if I support my team, if my team knows how to support me, then collaboration is a piece of cake.
Absolutely. So the top three there, we've got awareness, support, and collaboration. Wonderful steps along the program there.
Thank you.
Now, so when it comes to the difference in communication between men and women, it's similar in the workplace, but it's also on that same level outside and socially. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely, because we are trained in a certain way. So that's our way. I mean, sometimes I hear, especially men say that, well, I'm not like that in my personal life. I'm completely different. Yeah, I mean, when you have a tea party with your three-year-old, I do expect you to be slightly different than in a board meeting, all right? But I don't think women, for the most part, can do that shift so quickly. The communication part, you know, again, it goes back to the awareness. Who are you? And then the second question I would have to our viewers and listeners is like, who do you actually want to be? Because if people constantly tell you that they're living in fear because you are a fear, you know, person that instills fear in others, or you're so decisive that you don't let other people talk. So there really is a part about that where I pose the question, you know, do you want to be perceived that way? And for women, that's the same thing. Do you really want to be perceived as, let's say, you know, in one scenario, as weak and indecisive and wishy-washy and non-committal? So it comes with this awareness to say, who do I want to be? And then proceed to becoming that person. So if you have two different personalities inside and outside, there's a problem that maybe needing to have a little bit of, you know, like a tweaking here to be done, because that sounds exhausting to me. Why can't you not be the same wonderful person inside and out everywhere?
Oh, definitely. You've got a few problems there if you're managing all these multiple personalities.
Exactly.
Now, with your coaching, do you find that it's more of a light bulb moment and an immediate switch, or is it a gradual process with this realization?
That's really a phenomenal question. Nobody has ever asked me that. So extra points for that. I actually find that when awareness is raised, the results are almost immediately. So when I work with my clients in, you know, my one-on-one VIP days, or I, you know, do, you know, go into an organization and I help them with balanced team building, it's like, you can see it because they sit there and it's, you know, what we're talking about is, I think, things people already know deep down or in the back of their heads. But then when it's communicated or verbalized or you bring it out, it's like the bam, you know, the eyes open and there's like this instant, oh shit, I get it moment, you know, where like suddenly it kicks in and then you can never go back. And that's what I say when I speak. I say, well, you can never go back to your old ways. because now the awareness has been raised. And now the information is percolating in your head. So I find probably in about 70% of the cases, 70 to 80% of the cases, the results, the transformation is instant. And then there are the hardcore cases, people who are so set in their way that even when they have the information, even when they agree on the information, even when they know they need to make the changes, they are incapable to changing or they don't want to.
I totally agree. And it's the same with our coaching. When you see that light bulb moment and they just grasp on and they get it, and it may take a little time to smooth out the bumps in the road, but it's that mindset switch of, I can do this. I understand what's missing. And then it's fast track from there.
Absolutely. And that really is, I think, one of the most important things in the work that you know, you guys and I do, and many of the other consultants and coaches, is that it's really our job to facilitate. So we're not really fixers in that sense, but we're here to give the information in such a way, which is why it's so important for your listeners and viewers. If you think that something needs to be done, then by all means, you know, just find the right person who resonates with your style, somebody that is believable, that has the credentials, that talks about it in the way, that makes sense for you. But then really proceed to it, because we are not helpless to be stuck in who we are today. We actually have the power, the tools, and the ability to become the person we always wanted to be. So do that.
Just go for it. Now, do you have any big success stories or any favorite moments where someone had that light bulb moment and you just knew that they were off to the races?
Yeah, there's always a couple. So I have this one client, and she is a dance photographer by the name of Rachel Neville in New York. And I remember, and it was only 3 years ago, that Rachel came to me and she says, I'm a former dancer turned photographer, and I want to just make $60,000 so I can prove to my husband and my family that I have the right to call myself a photographer. So we were working together, and now 3 years later, she just completed a VIP day with me. She's already in the multiple six figures this year in year three. And now we mapped out a plan which has, you know, franchising her technique and her style and workshops, that I believe she can go in the next 2 to 3 years to $1 million business. And that is in a creative industry, a photographer, which is now a commodity, which is completely has been devalued. So she's like one of these examples where you look at her and you just know. I call actually these people that come to me that, you know, have that spark, I call them firecrackers, because it's like a firecracker, like you light it and then they bam, they just go off. Or I have this wonderful woman who is a stylist, a personal stylist, and she has started a styling business in a styling school, and now she, you know, she's like ranking it and on YouTube, and she is doing celebrity clients. So you know, there are phenomenal success stories out there. I work with a health clinic up in Seattle who is specialized on IBS, which is stands for irregular bowel syndrome, which is such a sexy topic to talk about. And so it's basically for people who have digestive disorders. And they've come up with a program or a system on how to help people that have too much insights into bathrooms on how to literally get out of the bathroom. And so, you know, I've been one of these people who had this problem, and they completely healed me. And so I had an opportunity to work with them and consult them on their business, and they've just exploded. And, double their revenue, and from $1 million, into $2 million business, and they're still growing. And the reason, it works is because what we do is, you know, in the 5-star success blueprint or in growth architecture, there are repeatable steps. All you have to do is follow the steps, and then, you know, go back and fix a step if you feel that it's not working, and then go to the next step. And then, you know, it's this whole system of doing things. So there's phenomenal success stories, which I'm sure, you know, you get to share as well with your clients. But I think that the knowledge is one thing, information is another thing, ability to change, and of course your mindset.
Yep. And then the execution to actually do all those things on top of it.
Oh, yeah. You got to be a lean, mean execution machine.
You hit on so many wonderful topics there. And the first one I want to jump back into is something that a lot of our other, you know, communications experts, career coaches touched upon is it doesn't matter what niche. If you think it's oversaturated, if it's photography or IBS or stylist, you know, be the best at what you do and then follow the systems that other people have put in place and you can grow and grow and grow.
Absolutely. And I like that you said the niche thing because, yeah, you know, sure, I have worked with a lot of creative entrepreneurs and that's kind of like one of my sweet spots because I understand the creative mind. But system really is a system. Like business, I think the biggest misconception about business for startups and entrepreneurs when they sort of first go out, they believe it's an extension of themselves. Yes and no. It's like giving birth, right? So you have this baby or, you know, and you feed it and you clothe it and you grow it. And there comes the day where it has to leave the house on its own, drives off with a car. And a business is very much like that. There comes a point where you have to make that push and you take that business and you launch it as its own individual thing with a personality, with an attitude, with a brand, with a name, with something. And all you do is you and your team, you're kind of now on the outside, right? And you give it, you know, things so it can go in this direction or in this direction and you feed it and you make sure it's running. But the idea of a successful business is that it must stand by itself without you.
It takes its own form and shape, yes. And then you just pivot. You make those slight adjustments along the way to make sure that it's still moving in the right direction.
That's absolutely correct.
And I love the other thing I want to go back to with that wonderful advice you gave is those moments where we realize what needs to be changed happen in a moment, but it takes time for those systems and implementations to work. Where, like you said, it's 3 years later and she's gone from where she wanted to be to multiple six figures. And for people that get frustrated that it's not happening in a month or in 2 months or in 6 months, you know, there's those big changes that can happen, but that we underestimate what we can do over a period of years.
Well, and the day has only 24 hours. So there is a limit to what you're capable of doing, you know, which is I'm sure you talk about as well, a lot about setting main focus and prioritizing and really getting clear on sort of what the steps are that move you forward. I think the difference is that as we, you know, everything is urgent, but what's really important? And so if we do the actions that drive us to that goal that we have versus just that busy circle spin that most of us get easily caught in. So a portion of your actions or of your day always needs to be set aside to go toward that goal that you want to reach. And then the other stuff, you know, stuff is going to be falling through the cracks. And I am probably the worst. My friend Ruta always says to me, she says, "You seem to think that you can get 48 hours out of 24. She says, "It's impossible." And then we run ourselves down, then we get frustrated, then we want to throw the towel. So yeah, building a business takes time. I mean, it really, really does.
And on that, what would you say are probably the top two or three skills that are really necessary overall for success in today's world?
It is, you just have to refuse to give up, really. I think that's probably my biggest secret to success. I am just too darn stubborn to give up. And I know it's possible, and I'm just going to find a way to do it. And that's really, I think, one of the biggest and most important mindsets of entrepreneurs is to say, you're going to fail. So if you fail, at least fail fast. And so get to that point where you know this is not working. And then literally, instead of getting all frustrated, I mean, no, go get frustrated for like 10, 15 minutes and then say, all right, that wasn't it. Now we are moving it into another direction. We're going into another direction and we see if that works, because eventually you'll find that, you know, that way that works. And there's this like famous illustration, you know, where it says like, you believe that entrepreneurship, you know, kind of goes like this. And then in reality, reality, it's like the scribble, you know, where you really don't know where the way is going. And it might not be the product you thought it was going to be. You might develop a completely different product along the way. It may not have been the service you thought. It might be a life event. It may not be the podcast. It might be a radio show. It might be, you know, who knows what it is going to be ending up to be for you. So the flexibility, the unfailing desire to succeed. I mean, you have to be really, really clear on that. You're going to get hurt. You're going to fall. It's going to cost you money. You're going to make expensive mistakes, and you're going to make them many times over. But at the end of the day, it's your commitment to yourself and to what you said you have reached to do. And I believe personally, Brandon, that most people give up just before that breakthrough, because that's always when it gets darkest, just before you have that final bend.
I totally agree with that. And I heard a great quote the other day. It said, sometimes you paint yourself into a corner, but all you need to do is realize you can just turn around and the whole room's behind you.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. I might be using that. That's a great quote. That's exactly what it is that you got to get out of your head. And you cannot do that when you're always in your office or, you know, hacking away on your computer 24/7. You got to meet people. You got to have communication. You got to network. You got to get out. You got to get new information. You got to go to conferences. You have to talk to coaches, to consultants. You know, you always want other perspectives, because our own knowledge is always limited, because we get as far as we can with what we know. And then if we need to go further, we need to add more knowledge. So that's the, you know, and there's only one way to add more knowledge is learn it.
Exactly. And I think, you know, it segues perfectly back to communication, because you've got to go out and meet those people and network. And it, you know, one of the things we say with our coaching and our videos is, what's the worst thing that someone can say? No, that they're not going to help you, that they're not going to do something. Well, there's 6 billion people in the world. Go start a conversation with another person.
Right. And then again, you know, in my philosophy, and then that no, it's not really a no, it's actually a not this. And that'll help you to take that no and just turn that in your head, instead of like this crushing defeat as just a road sign that says, not here, road closed, go this way. You know, so we also have to be very, you know, a little bit gentle with ourselves as we experience these failures and these difficulties as we're growing our businesses, that we have to nourish our souls and our minds as well, so we stay strong and we can, you know, get up and do this another day.
Now with that, I know we talked before about, you know, sometimes we have difficult conversations in the workplace, and, you know, if someone says no, or you hit those roadblocks, and what would you say are some of the best ways to handle those difficult conversations in the workplace?
Well, because I have been doing this for a long time, and I've been building businesses for a very, very long time. I can't even tell you how many there are, or how many I've been involved with, thousands. And I find that these difficult conversations are early signs that tell you that this is not the way to go. So if you are set, and I'm going to give you like an example. Mm-hmm. Sometimes entrepreneurs believe that the best funding comes through venture capital or angel investment. And if that is not coming through, it might be that that is not the way you need to seek an investor. So my financing, when I was at a, you know, my $135,000 in debt moment, came through the SBA after I had written a letter to the President of the United States, back then George W. Bush. And that letter made it to the, you know, I wrote to the White House, and then at the White House then put me in touch with the Small Business Administration. And then I met the deputy chief director, not some underling, but the deputy chief director of the SBA, because it was a letter that came from the White House. And then this gentleman helped me to restructure the numbers in my business plan, you know, well enough and fulfill the requirements that we were able to find a bank that underwrote the loan and, you know, issued the funding to me. And that freed up my line of credit, so I could get 3 months later to break even, and then 18 months later sell my business to Bill Gates for millions of dollars. So would I have insisted on the angel investment or on the, you know, on the venture capital investment, I would have never had this other opportunity because I would have been so focused on that one thing. And then you have to give up equity and shares. And then, you know, I was the owner of my business. I made every cent on my own. I didn't have to share this with anybody. So there is usually a good reason that when things don't happen and there is a no, that it's a sign. It's not this. So
be able to shift.
Shift. Yeah, go into another direction. Exactly.
I love how you simply glazed over that. You know, I wrote an email to the president and then talked right here. And I think that touches on such a big point that when we talk to people about networking and finding coaches and finding mentors, shoot for the stars. Shoot for those big names. And sometimes on a whim, they get back to you. Sometimes they don't. But like you said, you reached out to the president of the United States. It doesn't get much higher than that.
Yeah. And I did that because my ex-mother-in-law just wasn't going to stop talking about it. You know, mm-hmm. She just kept saying, he's your president. You need to write the president. I'm like, who the hell writes the president? And then I finally wrote the president just to make her be quiet. So that was a sign. And that was a huge turning point in my life. So really, it's about flexibility in your approach. And I think that's what entrepreneurship really is all about. I mean, if you want to do the same thing day in, day out, go get a corporate job. But if you want to explore and learn and play and, you know, have that playful attitude about, or the curiosity, I wonder if this works. Oh, that one didn't work. Okay. Oh, I'm going to wonder if that works. Oh my gosh, that worked. So, you know, the attitude really determines and how you feel about it. So, you know, the attitude is the key to being upbeat and uplifted and engaged and happy about what we do.
And I think even if someone is not an entrepreneur, just adopting that mindset in their corporate life and using those tactics is going to shine that spotlight on them. It's going to show the bosses that they're taking initiative, and it's going to help them move right up the career as well.
Well, actually, as you say this, it is true that a lot of corporate America actually calls creativity and innovation as their number two criteria that they'd like to develop and see in their employees. So if your listeners are in a corporate job, you know, forgive me if I haven't addressed this yet, but you can still have, as Brandon said, this mindset of entrepreneurship and ownership, most importantly, ownership of your own stuff, and say, what do I want my contribution to be? Instead of just going in the machine and acting like a part of the machine, become the part that runs the machine or design the machine, make a whole new machine. You know, everything is possible. And that is so exciting about the mindset that we have when we are in this spirit of just a creativity, innovation, and wonder as to what's possible. That's what moves the world.
Oh yeah, it absolutely does. And you know, it's something that we've adopted and we've moved and we've coached to that same thing. And whether it's communication or networking or building a business or moving up in your career, it all comes back around to just being in that right mindset.
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
Now, for you personally, I know that you're an inspiration to many. You've coached thousands of business owners, but who do you look to as an inspiration?
I actually really like sort of some of the methods that Darren Hardy, the editor of Success Magazine, he has this method of the compound effect, which I really, really like. And the compound effect just basically says that small repetitive steps achieve great results. I do like Maya Angelou for inspiration, and I find her, you know, just a wonderful inspiration, very, very wise woman. I'm just a regret that I've never had the opportunity to actually see her live in person. And I do go through to quite a few of my colleagues' conferences and seminars just to see, you know, how other people are interacting with their audiences. I listen to quite a few shows on my, you know, when I walk. I like, you know, Lisa Sasevich, who I work with or who works with me, you know, in some of my stuff. She has a great approach to selling, and you know, and everything she does is selling, and it's like so good. And I, you know, sometimes I wish I could be this good with selling. And I, who else do I like to listen to? You know, really, I like a lot of women that are outspoken. That, you know, like I love what Madeleine Albright always has said about, you know, women and getting along. I watch some of the newbies that are coming up on Twitter that are talking about equality. That's a lot of my intake. But I can't say that I have sort of a specific guru that I read everything. I'm kind of like a little ADD that way. So I go and I attach to somebody for like a year or two or three, and then I absorb that, and then I move on to the next, and I absorb that, and then I go to the next one, because I do, I want to remain that flexibility. But I do listen and download a lot of stuff, and I walk a lot, so that's what I listen to when I walk.
Now, do you have any book recommendations following up on this part?
I definitely would recommend everybody to get The Compound Effect. And for those of you who want to learn about the playbook of the other team, because your audience is primarily male, go get a copy of Happy Woman, Happy World. We actually just did a bestseller campaign, and we have achieved bestseller status in, I think, number one Amazon bestseller in six countries.
Congratulations.
Just last week. And as our thank you, we've sort of left the ebook up at a greatly reduced price until the end of the month, so people can still go and download the book. And we're getting phenomenal feedback, because it's all about, you know, my systematic structured approach, and everything is about a tangible items. I did enjoy Good to Great. So if you haven't read that yet, that's just a good reminder of personal excellence. What else do I have from my business books? Then there's The Power of Habit. That's a good one, just to catch yourself in your day in, day out stuff. So that would be and The Big Leap. Loved The Big Leap. Loved The Big Leap, because it's all about, like, if you do it, you may as well just make the big leap instead of like the little one.
That's a great one. That's very high up on my to-do list. It's been recommended by quite a few other people.
Yeah. So I loved that. And I got the audio version of it, so I could listen to it. So yeah, that was one of my favorites. Yeah. So that's what I would recommend your listeners to get.
Now, I know you mentioned your book within there, and if someone wants to find out more about you and your programs and what you do, what's the best way for them to find you?
Yeah, so if you're looking for the Women's Code, just go to thewomenscode.com and take a look around. This is where we talk about balanced leadership. That's I work with organizations, so I do balanced team building in organizations such as Merck Pharmaceuticals, and we are working on a couple of ginormous proposals right now. So, you know, hopefully to come to a Fortune 1000 company near you soon. And of course, our grassroots movement, which is, you know, your own leadership, which you also can find on the Women's Code. If you are an entrepreneur and you're listening to this, you may want to go over to the Growth Architect website, which you can find at beatechalette.com. And for those of you who want to actually start immediately with the first step of Growth Architecture, I invite you to go to customerprofile.tips, which is a free training that I offer for everybody who wants to figure out the first step. And the first step is getting clear of who you're selling to and how to talk to them.
Fantastic. So I'll make sure to add all the links in the description so everyone can access them easily. Now, a few more questions, just a few to follow up and a little bit more about you. If you could have a conversation with anyone, past, present, or future, who may that be?
I would definitely want to sit down with Maya Angelou, just because I think there's such a wisdom. I'm still debating on whether I would wanted to sit down with Richard Branson or not, because like everybody else has that idea of talking to him. But you know, I can see myself on Necker Island. I really can. I've sailed by there several times, and you know, you go like, what would it be like to stop there and actually have a conversation with him? Because he is certainly interesting. Elon Musk is another one, because I just think the man can't even think like other people. And Peter Diamandis, because I don't even know how his brain works. I mean, he thinks of things nobody else can think of. So, and I don't even know if I would understand half of the conversation, but those would be some of the people that I just find interesting. And Hillary Clinton. I would love to have tea with Hillary Clinton.
Those are some wonderful names there. I think that'd be a heck of a conversation if you could get all of them on a roundtable discussion.
I know, right?
Talk about doing some good for the world.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, final question. Is there anything that you wish that I had asked, or do you have any final words of wisdom?
No, I think you've done a phenomenal job asking questions that nobody else has asked. And, final words of wisdom really are, I think the first step to success, and whether you're entrepreneur or whether you're employed or whatever your goals in life are, is really own who you are. Find out who you really are and how you're being perceived, not how you just see yourself, but how you're being perceived. And then establish the person that you want to be and proceed to becoming that. Because I think that in life, that the power we have to inspire, to participate, to contribute is really immense, and it comes with such great joy and such great responsibility. And at the end of the day, I hope everybody who's listening is going to want to leave this place a little bit better than they found it, which is certainly what I'm trying to do, and I know you are doing the same thing. So become the best version of yourself.
I think that's so powerful and so needed in today's world.
Especially right now, when you turn on the TV and you see this bunch of like lying nonsense and the yelling and the screaming and the huffing and the puffing. It's like, but you know what? The opportunity, and I'll leave sort of with that, the opportunity really lies into that. If it wasn't for that, and if it wasn't such an exposure of the bullshit, and I'm just going to call it what it is, the bullshit that's been going on for so long, it would not activate so many of us to become our best versions, because that's what it's going to take. And it's so clear our responsibility for the world is here and not out there. Nobody else is going to do this but you. So step the heck up and go do it.
It's a movement of individuals, but together we can change the world.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, Beate, thank you so much for joining us. I've truly enjoyed. You shared so much wisdom. I know our audience is going to learn a ton from this.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Thanks again.
And that's all. What'd you think? Let us know the favorite thing that you learned in the comments below. And if you know someone who could use a bit of inspiration, go ahead and be a pal and send them the link to this video. I know that they'll appreciate it. Below, I've also included the links to Beate's website, her books, her courses. So if there's something that we talked about and you want to find out more, check out the description in the link below. It'll have everything you need. And as always, click subscribe right down there in the corner so that you never miss another video. Every Wednesday, we're going to be releasing new interviews with experts and influencers so that you can learn the best tips right from the source. Don't miss our open enrollment on our brand new course, Millennial Magnetism. Click the link below in the description for more details and discover how you can unleash your inner awesome. Until next time, ciao for now.